flows to us and into us and out of us as the Lord leads. Lord, we are thankful and Lord, we do praise you for your kindness to us, for your love and mercy, for your cleansing blood, your overflowing river of life from within us. We ask you, Lord, to guide us and, Lord, open our eyes that we might see things that we have not seen before in your word, that you have expanded, you are expanded. Just as your government will have no end, your word has no end. We thank you and praise you, Lord. I ask you to help me to express what you would have me to say, what needs to be heard. In your name we pray. Amen. At the opening of the service, opening of our time together here, I read John 16:33, and actually I want to go back and just remind you, 2 weeks ago I spoke on abiding, and I had been captured by John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled," because we are in times that our hearts could be troubled. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." And I tried to expand upon our abiding with Jesus and our abiding with the Father. And we truly are abiding. And when we come together, just as we are here, I said this last week, we are abiding in Him. We are hearing from Him. We are seeing Him. We are being touched by Him. And the Lord spoke quite a bit to the disciples here. This is, again, reminding you, this is the last evening, evening before Jesus was taken and would be crucified the next day. And he was with the disciples. And if you go back and read this first part of John chapter 14, the disciples, and I suppose they're representing us as well, they don't seem to understand what they have been seeing. But what the point that I wanted to make was that we are abiding with Him because He is causing that to happen. It is not our effort. It's not, they didn't fail because they didn't work hard enough or they didn't get up early enough to have quiet time. They didn't fail. They didn't fail because He's completed them. And He is completing Himself in them just as He is in us. And you know, He says in here that I am the way, the truth, and the life, saying to Thomas, why you don't understand, but you do know me, even though you don't seem to know me. He goes on and he speaks to Philip, and Philip says, show us the Father. And he says, you have seen the Father if you've seen me. And he wants us to see the Father. He's not trying to hide himself in any way. And he goes on to say, in verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. So it's the power of God that is doing the works that we and the Word needs to convey, that we need to share, that we need to dwell in. goes on in verse 11 to say, believe me that I am in the Father. The Father is in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. We will grow in our relationship with the Lord because He has accomplished what He has done. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He has made a place for us in heaven, and He is coming back again to take us there. But even now, even in this place, today, yesterday, tomorrow, we are abiding in Him because He is causing it to be. He wants us to see Him. He wants us to know Him. And He's saying that even if you don't believe me, trust in the works that you've seen me do. We've talked about it today, how many things that the Lord has done that we have witnessed that are advocate. Kevin, I can't remember exactly the words you used, but it was amazing how the Lord arranged the circumstances that you would have a place to take your bride. Hallelujah. And the Lord has a place to take His bride. He has the body. He has heaven. He is causing us to see and to know. And He wants us to trust and to dwell there, to dwell with Him. And as we dwell with Him, what Philip didn't see, what Thomas didn't see, will be revealed because we are with Him. We are in His household. We are not just, it's not just when we gather together on Sunday. Every moment we are with Him. He has made it so. He has made it possible first. He is our great high priest. He is opened the way. He tore the temple, curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom that we might go in, that He could go in, and He has brought us in. And He has done the work. He is doing the work. It is not our effort. We can't make ourselves better. He is the one who is accomplishing the work. I want to go on a little bit from here and I was captured by John 14, 1 and 2, and I've also been captured by John 27 and 14, 27. And, as I already read, John 16, 33. And the word here that I want to expound upon, or to speak about, is in verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. Jesus, speaking of peace, we sang earlier many of the names of Jesus, and one of them is Prince of Peace. I don't know what the Lord has revealed to you about Him being the Prince of Peace, but the thing that He revealed to me is the Prince of Peace has the power to create peace, to cause peace to be, to overwhelm that the enemy has no place of standing. There is no if, and, or but about the things that Jesus is doing. It is fact. He is the prince, the authority. He is peace. Now, I don't know if you've, hope this will help. Occasionally, a dictionary does help. I looked up peace, and this was the word that's being used in the Greek in Strong's Concordance. And peace is being one. It is quietness. It is rest. It expresses it. It is, we are being set at one in when we are in peace. It also has a word that I'm a little bit hesitant, but maybe it will help. Hesitant to use. The word means prosperity. Now, it bothers me when prosperity is used according to man as God's prosperity. He's not promising a certain thing that we want. It's just like I think I said last time I spoke, dwelling places, as it is translated in the New American Standard, is translated mansions in the King James. And the definition of a mansion is the place where the Lord of the place lives. He is extravagant, a large, it is a desirable place at the level of earth. It's not, I don't think Kevin would probably say that he's moving into a mansion, but you are moving into a dwelling place that is, in fact, greater than anything else that man can provide. In John 16:33, he says, I have spoken these things to you that in me you may have peace, and in the world you have tribulation. So, peace means rest, it means prosperity of heart, prosperity of abundance, I guess would be the right word. It's not abundance as man gives. It's abundance as God gives. And he is without limit. And so, I don't want you to grab on to prosperity and think that, you know, a lot of people want to believe that God intends for them to be rich in things of this world. And quite frankly, that's dangerous. I want to read it. I don't know if you all have ever noticed that our brother Ed, since he's not here, I can talk about him. But he'll probably be listening later. I don't know if you've ever noticed, you know, when he speaks, he very kindly prepares all the verses and lays them out so that we don't have to chase it all around our Bible flipping pages and being distracted. I assume that's why he does it. But he always seems to have another verse when he opens the message, doesn't he? He always says, and this isn't on your sheet. How many times have you heard that? Well, last Wednesday at Janet Hume's house, the Bible study on John, could be why I'm getting stirred up about John. The Bible study on John, he had it written down. The opening verse is on the sheet. And it happens to be well worth reading. I'm going to read it to you because I want to remind you where I'm coming from here. What the concern that I have is that we are fully embraced by God, protected, provided for. He is all sufficient. He is complete in us. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be filled with Him. He wants us to be changed. The verse is Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Be appalled, O heavens. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder, be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And I expect you all have heard that or may remember it or be reminded of it, particularly the cisterns and the broken cisterns. I didn't know a lot of, I thought I knew a lot about cisterns, or a fair amount. Cisterns are where you keep water, where you store water. In the desert, they would do that. They would have times when the water was available, and they would store it. They would capture it and store it. We aren't living in the desert spiritually. We have no need of a cistern, particularly one that will hold no water. He declares, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. When we dwell with Him, He is providing. Our fullness is not, well, I don't know, I didn't look it up. I think it's in one of the Gospels anyway, about where Jesus warns the farmer. He has an abundant crop. And what am I going to do? Well, he pulls down his barns and he builds bigger barns so he can store it, so he has stuff plenty for himself. Oh, my soul will be well satisfied in all the abundance that I have. And yet, oh fool, your soul will be required. That's what's going on here. The Lord is saying to Israel, and He's saying to us, I am the fountain of living water. I am not just some, I don't just pour myself out and expect you to capture it and live off of it until I have deigned to give you more. Every day, the water is flowing, just like Ezekiel's temple. It comes out a trickle, it grows into a stream, it becomes a flood. And it flows out into the desert and makes it bloom. And it freshens the salt places. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. In our dwelling with Christ, it is like we are beside a fountain. It's very similar to Psalm 23. He leads me beside quiet waters. Those waters are not going to dry up. This fountain is not going to stop flowing. If we think that we can capture it and thereby control it, and then we don't have to worry. We don't have to have faith if we have a cistern, right? If I have a bigger barn with lots of, you're completely filled up with rain, I don't have to worry about whether I'm planting or whether the crops come in or not. I don't have to be before the Lord trusting Him for my supply. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust anything that man can do. Don't trust your finances. Don't trust your freezer. Don't trust your city's water supply or the hole in the ground that you've drilled to get water. And we are blessed to have water here. There are places in the world where you can't drill a hole in the ground and find water. But my point is, don't try to take it into your own hands. The Lord is taking care of us as a fountain of living water. Of course, He's not speaking, and the Lord is not speaking, that we will not need food or that we will not need water in the, at the level of earth. We need supply. He knows that, and he will provide that. But spiritually, we need to be drinking from the fountain every day, every moment. That's what dwelling with him means. He is providing water. He's providing food. He's providing rest. He is making us one, and that is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. The Lord says in John 14, later in the chapter, Jesus, this is verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." We are being drawn by Jesus into a dwelling of his, a dwelling place of his choosing and his making. Verse 24, "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you," verse 25, "while abiding with you." Jesus abiding with us. Jesus abiding with the apostles. Verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." There is much trouble in the world, much trouble that we see, many things that we think, oh boy, this is a bad one. Or something comes along and we think, wow, that's great. The Lord is leading. The Lord is behind all these things. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He has all things in his hand. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to be one. He wants us to have rest. He wants us to have quietness. The world is loud. The world is unruly, unrulable, even though men try. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's all we're able to come up with ourselves. God will give us, will provide for us and give us peace. He is able. He is not just sitting there saying, "Gee, I hope they'll just listen to me and everything will be okay." He's making it happen. He's making it happen despite rulers who are seemingly without control or limit, that are, might cause problems in the whole world. I mean, we have developed enough stuff that we can ruin the world if God didn't intervene. We can kill each other in great quantities. Much more than they ever saw back then. But the Helper, back to verse 26 and 14, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you." He is doing this. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Not, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Lord, we do thank you and praise you for the assurance that you have given us in your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you have sent to us and we have received the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us to interpret the word, to feed us, to quench our thirst, to cause us to dwell together in unity. Lord, we are so thankful for what you have done. Help us to look beyond the noise of this world and not be troubled by it, not be distracted by the noise and the wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you speak to us, that we can hear, and that you assure us that we may know, and you show us that even if we don't understand, as Thomas and Philip, show us the Father. You said, how can you ask me that? You have seen the Father. We have seen you. And Lord, thank you. Give us that assurance. Help us to see more clearly and to trust you in all things. For you have overcome the world. You have given us testimony. And that testimony goes out to all the earth that you are God of gods. We thank you and praise you.